Pick up your Bible and find there the New Testament Gospel of Luke and chapter 2, and hold your place there for a moment. Luke chapter 2, and just hold your place for a moment. I hope your Valentine's Day went well. I don't know if it was bumped around, your plans were bumped around because of the ice, but this past week when I was shopping Valentine cards, I noticed a trend among the Valentine cards about love, and how many of them said, you know, you never leave me, or I know that you love me because you're always there, or the reverse, I love you and I'll always be there for you. You may have even given your beloved a card like that. I'll always be there for you, because that's the sentiment of love. That's the core of love. If you can run somebody off by your mistakes or behavior or unfortunate words or whatever happens in your life, and sometimes just telling them the truth about your past, if that runs them off, you have to question, did they really love you in the first place? But we all know when somebody comes into our lives that you just can't run them off. They just love you that much. No matter what changes you go through, no matter what happens in your life, they are always there for you. And if people love us that much, how extraordinary it is that God would love us so much that He would never leave us or forsake us. You know, the Bible says that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God loves you so much, He will never leave you, never forsake you. Or as we're going to call it in a message series we're starting today, He's still there. At those times in your life when you were sure God would back out on you, that you would look at behind you, God would be gone because of how you behaved, because of what you've said, because of the mistakes you've made, instead you turn around and find He's still here. He is still here. Now, to put it another way, you cannot run God off. He loves you and is always there for you. And if you have sinned against Him, if you'll come back to Him in repentance, you'll find He is still here waiting for you. That's the name of this message series. But the way we're going to approach it is we're going to watch Jesus do just that. Starting this morning and in the weeks through Easter, we're going to see that truth embodied in Jesus Christ as He remains when all of us would have left. Jesus is still there. And there are a lot of different components to that. To knowing Jesus is there, to knowing Jesus stays when others would leave us. So let me simplify it by putting it this way. What we're going to learn in this series is that Jesus is always where Jesus should be. And Jesus is always where God would be, because Jesus is God. So Jesus is always where Jesus should be. And when we're looking for Him or when we need Him, we find that that's where He is. He's still there, just where God would be. We're going to start the series this morning in a story of Jesus' childhood. In fact, the only story in the Gospels that tells us anything about Jesus as a child, in Luke chapter 2. Let me give you a little background of the story before we go into it. The story tells us that Joseph has taken his family, Mary and Jesus, and any other children they may have had by then, although that's not mentioned, but takes them to Jerusalem to the Passover. Now, a Jewish man was required in that day to attend 3 festivals a year in Jerusalem. The Passover was the biggest of all throughout the year. So typically a Jewish man, would take his whole family with him at Passover. That was a festival he always attended, one of the 3 he made sure he showed up for, and he would just about always take his family with him. That's what's occurred as the story opens up, and as Luke describes it for us. Another thing to bear in mind is that as the Bible teaches us, and as Luke says at the opening of his gospel, he received his information for his gospel from various sources as he did his research, but at the top of the list of his sources was Mary herself, the mother of Jesus. He interviewed her, he talked with her, he learned stories from her, and no doubt this is one of the stories that Luke learned. Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Find that in your Bible. Luke 2, verse 41. The Bible says, every year His parents, that is Jesus' parents, traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. After those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple complex, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked them. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he had said to them. If this event had happened today, Mary and Joseph could expect a visit from the Department of Social Services. And even now, today, we have trouble grasping how in the world could they have traveled all day and not known Jesus was with them. That Jesus had stayed behind. That to put it bluntly, they had left him behind in Jerusalem and taken a road out of town. They had departed without their oldest son. Now let's get a little historical context, ground ourselves here, and make us feel a little bit better about Joseph and Mary. In those days, traveling was quite different for the family than it would be today. You have to keep in mind, these are not this is not a little nuclear family in a Toyota commuting down to Jerusalem. So when they would travel long distances, as no doubt it was from Nazareth in Galilee all the way down to Jerusalem, for a feast as large as the Passover, they would gather many families together, all of their extended families, other families in Nazareth and Galilee, and they would build this caravan of people socializing and protecting one another as they traveled down the road. And they would travel together in this long caravan, and in the Jewish tradition, the men would typically bring up the back. Most of the men would be at the back, and the ladies would be at the front. And they could travel all day from dawn to dark without ever interacting between the two until they came to a place to spend the night. Likely that's what happened. Early in the morning after the Passover week, and Passover took a whole week, when the week was up, Mary and Joseph gathered their belongings. They split up in the caravan, Mary at the front with the ladies, Joseph at the back with the men, and they headed out at dawn, and they're all the way up the road, a full day's journey, before they meet back in the middle, and Mary says, "Where's Jesus?" And Joseph says, "Men, I don't know. I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you." "Not with me. Frank, have you seen Jesus?" "I didn't see him." The panic starts to build. The Bible says, as Mary puts it, by the time she arrives back and finds Jesus, "We have been anxiously looking for you, searching for you." The phrase means we are deeply panicked looking for you. They had traveled out a day, took them a day to get back, took them about a day to find Jesus. That accounts for the 3 days that Luke says. Can you imagine that, ladies? That full journey back, wondering, "Where in the world is my son?" The truth is, they had left him. They had left him in Jerusalem, took another road, and left without him. Gives us pause for a moment, doesn't it? Because you may be the one in here and you've had something like your Passover moments with God, big events, and God just worked in your life, and you were close to God then, and you enjoyed that moment so very much. And you look back over your life and it's quite different now. Your relationship with the Lord has dwindled just a bit. Not as much priority there in spending time with God. And maybe when you come to church, the emotion is quite different. Instead of feeling that attachment to God and that excitement, like that great day of maybe like your Passover time when you celebrated God and had those moments with Him, now there's a hurt inside. There's a sense of even desperation that you want to make that relationship right, but you're not sure what happened. But you know, one thing that may have happened is you may have left Jesus in Jerusalem and gone on another way. When did you leave Jesus behind? Where did you leave Jesus behind? If you can answer that question, then you can find him. Because I tell you this, Jesus is always where Jesus should be. He hasn't gone anywhere. But you and I, we tend to wander off, go off into other things, leave Jesus behind, and then feel the pain later. So this morning, we're going to go back to this story. The story shows us, in God's providence and inspiration, the story shows us where to find Jesus. Where is Jesus? If you've left him behind and you're hurting inside and you're spiritual, you just know spiritually you're just not with God as you should be, how do you get back? How do you find him? So look at this with me. First of all, I can tell you this right now. Jesus is showing the Father's priorities. Jesus is showing the Father's priorities. Lots of times the distance between us and God is the result of us choosing our priorities over God's. It's a result of maybe a little bit of time, and maybe all at once we say, no, God, this is what I want to do with my life. I want to go this direction. I want to prioritize my life differently. In this period of my life, I want to have this relationship. In this period of my life, I want to make money. In this period of my life, God, I want to work on my education, God, and that's my priority. So where can you find Jesus? Well, you can find Jesus right where Jesus always is, showing the Father's priorities and how those should be ours. I'm a curious guy. When I read the scripture, oftentimes I'll read a story like this, and I'll wonder, why did Luke pick this story? If he learned from Mary, if he interviewed the mother of Jesus Christ and he learned about Jesus' childhood, of all the stories he could have told, this is the one that he picked. And in fact, this is the first time in the Gospel of Luke the Lord Jesus says anything. The first recorded statements of Christ in the Gospel of Luke, he's 12 years old. Why this story? Well, he's already told us. Because Jesus was 12 years old, which in the Jewish man's life is on the cusp of manhood. He is about to be officially crowned a man in the Jewish household at 13 years old. And what is he doing? He is demonstrating to his family, to the religious leaders, and to the Heavenly Father what his priorities are going to be. His priority will be God's priorities, period. We're told when the story opens that it was the common annual event, very literally the habit or habitually, Joseph and his family went to Jerusalem for the Passover. And we know Joseph and Mary from the Christmas story. We know they're godly people. We know they're righteous people. We know they love God and they want to serve God, and they show that by their religion, by practicing their faith as good Jewish people. Now their son, the Son of God, brings into their life a new idea. It's not all about religion. It's about relationship. It's not, you don't just leave after the service is over, after Passover is over. You don't leave God behind and go on about your business. It's about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father. He stays behind to demonstrate the priority of God is that relationship with the Father. As he puts it, as some translations say, to be in the Father's house. That means to be in the Father's place, to be as close to the Father as he could possibly be, and to be among God's people, to keep his priority always fellowship with God and loving God. Where can you find Jesus? If you have misplaced your priorities, then you've left Jesus behind. You've walked away. If church has become for you all about the religion of it, all about showing up on Sunday and Monday through Saturday, I do my own thing, you know what? You left Jesus
behind.
But Jesus is always where he should be. What you're feeling, what that misery is that your fellowship with God is broken, your relationship with God is strained, your religion may be fine, but your relationship, your fellowship with God, that's what you need to return to. And Jesus is waiting for you to receive you. He's waiting right where you left him, in the heart of relationship with God. And I want to tell you, the Bible teaches there is no other place you can have that relationship. No other place you're going to be satisfied or content. No other religion, no other activity, no other ritual. Nowhere else will you ever find relationship with God as you will in Jesus Christ. The second place I know for sure you can find Jesus is doing the Father's business. Doing the Father's business. That's the core of this statement. Did you not know? It very literally says, I must be about my Father's. I noticed what I said there. It's kind of a fill in the blank. And as I mentioned, some translations say, in my Father's house, and as I read it this morning, about my Father's business or doing my Father's business. All of that's accurate because what Jesus meant was, I must be where my Father is, and I must do the will of my Father. That's it. And Jesus was saying to his earthly parents, you need to know, when I turn 13, this is me. I'm about the will of God, first and foremost, and about my Father's business. Jesus was the most single-minded, focused, mission-oriented individual in history. And it begins right here. I believe another reason Luke picked this is because this is a defining statement for the Lord Jesus Christ and for anyone who wants to know Christ. Where is he? He's doing God's work. And he even says in John chapter 5 and verse 19, the Lord Jesus says, if you're looking for me, then you need to look where God's at work, because that's what I'm doing. I'm about my Father's business. He said, John 5, 19, I assure you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does these things in the same way. Wow. From 12 years old to 30 years old, he said, I've got one mission. To do what the Father wants me to do and to do what I see God doing. I just do what the Father desires. That's who I am. That's what I do. One of the key places we leave Jesus, where we depart from him and we leave him in Jerusalem, is we decide we're not going to be about the Father's business. We decide we're going to live our way, we're going to do our thing, we're going to give nod now and then to the ritual of religion and church, but otherwise, thank you very much, I'll live my life. And Jesus says, if you're looking for me, I'll be doing God's will. And if you decide you want to come back, we'll do God's will together. How tragic, how sad it is that so many of us think that what we're doing here this morning is just about religion or just about what we want. People, God is at work. And the people of God are called to join him in his work. When we wander off or by design we depart, we are leaving the will of God. And if you've done that, your relationship with God is strained. It's because you have left the things of God. You just left him. Did I want to go live my own life and do my own thing? So if you're looking for Jesus, ask yourself, was there a point in my life when I just turned my back on what God wanted to do in my life? On God's will itself in my life, I just turned away. I said, God, I'm just going to go my own way. Well, the good news is you can come back. You can repent. You can accept God's will for you. You can say with Jesus, I have this one priority, this one business, this one thing I do, and that is the will of God in my life. Everything else, God will put into place. God will take care of that. But I have this one thing I do, and that's the will of God. Then third, if you're looking for Jesus, if you're looking for Jesus, you'll find him favoring the Father's Word. Favoring the Father's Word. When I was a kid, I remember in the Sunday school class in the church where I grew up, there was a picture depicting this story. You may have seen pictures like that too. But in this particular picture, it showed Jesus as a 12-year-old boy with his robes on, and he was seated in the temple, and there were religious leaders all around him and people standing behind him. And they were both mystified, and some were angry, and some were astonished, and some were laughing, and some were surprised. But the focal point of the picture was this young Jesus, preteen, sitting there wagging his finger, and you could tell he was telling them about it. He was giving them what for. Is that what Luke says happened? The image Luke gives is quite different. The story Mary told him, what she saw when she came back that day, was the Lord Jesus soaking in the Word of God, soaking in the teaching. He was listening and learning as well as talking and teaching. And the crowds were not astonished by him lecturing. They were astonished by his replies and the wisdom he indicated as he himself loved God's Word, understood God's Word better than the masses did, and could respond even better to dialogue with the religious leaders. Now, the picture at this moment is not like 30 years later when the religious leaders want to crucify him. The picture at this moment is that the religious leaders love him. They're enamored with this boy whiz on the Word of God. There's one thing about Jesus Christ you can know this. If you know the Bible, you know Jesus. And apart from the Bible, you will not know Jesus. Because Jesus Christ favors, loves, teaches the Word of God. He is the Word of God incarnate. He teaches the Word of God to people. He lives by the Word of God. If you have left Jesus in Jerusalem and departed another way, let me ask you this. When was that day when you said no to the Word of God? When was that day when you said, God, I know what the Bible says, I'm just not going to do it? When was that day you said, I will find instruction elsewhere. I will depart on one or two things. I just don't believe that's what God would do. I don't believe the Bible when it says this or that. I know that's what the Bible says. I can read it for myself, but I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to believe it. I'm going to leave it behind. And off you went. Well, the problem with that is Jesus Christ loves the Word of God, teaches the Word of God. He is known through the Word of God. He is known as the Word of God. And if you want to be back in relationship with him, you've got to live the Word of God. You've got to trust the Word of God. You've got to apply the Word of God. And you've got to believe the Word of God. And you don't get to choose, and I don't get to choose, which parts of it we like and we don't like. We leave Jesus the moment we say no to the Word of God. Not going to listen to it. Not going to believe it. Good news is you can come back. You can come back because he's waiting on you. You can come back and you know what? You will find him right where you left him. You will find him waiting for you. Jesus is always where Jesus should be. And he is waiting for you to come back and to come home. If you know that sense, that feeling, that just miserable feeling of, God, what happened to our relationship? What happened to us, God? Then you can know there was a point where you were in right relationship with God. There was a point where your fellowship with God was sweet. And this is the point where you can make that right. The Japanese Navy is a little embarrassed. For the last 9 days, the Japanese Navy has been looking for something that they lost. A $5 million robotic submarine. That doesn't happen very often. And shouldn't happen ever. But they were using the robotic submarine out of the Pacific, and they were surveying the ocean floor and taking temperature levels and tides and currents, measuring all these things. And then suddenly, the cable snapped, and off it went. And they've been searching the ocean floor for 9 days and cannot find their submarine. Don't get excited. I don't think there's a reward out for it, but when I think of that, I think of us. And I think of that feeling when the tether breaks, the fellowship is broken between us and God. And we may not notice it right at first, but we've drifted. We've drifted away. Sometimes it's that first decision to say, no, God, I'm not going to fellowship with you today. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to believe my Bible. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to do my own thing today. And maybe it's the second decision. Well, God, I disagree with what the Word says. I'll just listen to this part over here. Maybe it's when you say, I'm going to break fellowship with another believer. Maybe it's when you say, God, I just want to change my priorities and live for me. I don't know. But I think you know. I think you know when the tether broke. I think you know when the misery started. I think you know right now that more than anything else, you want to come back. Come back to Jesus. Come back to fellowship with God. Come back to find Him right where He's always been, waiting for you.